BFBS.
And now on BFBS Radio, a music special. Drummer and former member of Razorlight, Andy Burrows, is now a successful solo artist. Here is Andy Burrows in conversation with Frank McCarthy.
It's BFBS, it's Frank McCarthy with Andy Burrows. Andy, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, it's a pleasure.
I've been kind of following your career, loosely, as a drummer, you see.
Absolutely.
For the last kind of... Well, I'd say about 8 years, certainly since you joined Razorlight.
It was 10 years ago, you know.
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
2004, of course.
Yeah. It's a long time now.
But, so where did it all start for you? You know, I read that you grew up in Winchester.
Yep.
Born in 1979,
that's
if you don't mind me saying.
No, yeah. The wonders of Wikipedia.
Okay, so you're a drummer.
Yeah.
And many people, certainly from the days of Razorlight, probably only knew you as a drummer.
Yeah.
But... where did a guitar come into it? Because today you brought your guitar, you brought your mate, your guitar buddy, Stuart, brought Stu with you, and there's no drums in sight.
Yeah, no, and he's a drummer as well. he was my drum tech in Razorlight.
That's amazing.
He used to set my drums up. We're best of mates, and he's now there playing with me. But no, I always played drums from when I started playing when I was about 6 or 7. I was just always obsessed with, you know, rock bands and pop music and drums and drum kits. And lights as well. I was obsessed with, like, you know, stage setups, and, you know, I just was totally into the whole thing from a really early age. And it's funny, really, because now I'm 35 and I've just been doing the same thing ever since. And I count myself, you know, extremely lucky to be able to say that I've been doing it all my life. But it is funny. It's funny that the same things I was sort of, like, you know, excited about as a 7-year-old boy is still the same thing now.
And did you start as a drummer then?
Started as a drummer, fully. It took a long time to persuade my parents to, to get me a drum. It took a long time, actually. It took years. I just used a school drum kit. Because drums, obviously, they're not a very sociable instrument. And I think my parents ended up having a massive fallout with the neighbours and then a massive fallout with each other. So, there you go, that's a different story.
And what kind of music as a kid? I mean, I remember when I was growing up and I was listening to drummers drumming like at home and with the neighbours complaining all the time. It was things like The Police. And how about you? What did you get into from the early stages?
That's a good point, actually. Police, my dad's always been a huge influence on me with music. You know, we would drive around in his car and listen to The Police and listen to Graham Parker and listen to Elvis Costello. And, you know, I have very fond memories of being a little boy listening to, you know, my dad turning the music up loud, and I'll always be listening to the drums. And my dad can't really, my dad's a bit of a, he's not much of a musician, but he's, you know, he's always tapping on the steering wheel. I think I just got so excited with beat and rhythm from, you know, probably like yourself, but from such an early age. It's just, I mean, the drums is just such an... it's such an amazingly expressive instrument, you know. And I was very small as a kid. I mean, I'm a bit more of a regular height now. But up until I was 14 or 15, I had real tall parents, taller older brother, but I was really short. And I think maybe I suffered a little bit with confidence and stuff being so small. And the drums was just this brilliant thing, because I would never be that, you know, in sports I'd be getting pounded in rugby or, like, knocked over, you know. And then but then when it came to, like, school assembly, and there'd be Andy roll his drum kit out, here he comes again, and I'd make loads of noise, and then all the kids would be talking about it for the next week. And I think I just started to really like that. I was like, okay, I may not be the biggest player on the football pitch, but I'll make you all deaf in the school assembly.
So what song should we play from that kind of era, that time period?
Can we do a Police?
Yeah, of course.
Let's go with a Police song, because I should have, you know, all the drumming on that. I mean, Roxanne is incredible, the way he plays that offbeat thing all the way through the verse, and then it... You know what, let's go Roxanne, because that song's incredible, and the drums are just immense. Stuart Copeland is a total hero. I met him, actually. We played with the Police once. I mean, they're just incredible.
So here it is, Roxanne on BFBS. Frank McCarthy with Andy Burrows, The Police.
Days are over. You don't have to say your body to
Okay, so Roxanne, the Police, Frank McCarthy with Andy Burrows on BFBS. I'm so glad you came in. You're going to be playing some tunes for us a little bit later as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So including the first single to be taken from the new album, you're going to play some classic kind of older stuff and other things you've been working on. So really looking forward to those. But we're kind of in the early days still, aren't we? You started drumming. Did you start playing guitar at that kind of time as well, or was that later?
I think, I can't remember exactly when I got into guitar. I've never been, like, a guitarist. You know, I've always been obsessed with the drums. But I think the guitar was always kicking around. I basically was always playing piano and drums and guitar. Just always. And I never really, you know, I wasn't very good at school. I think I was just always completely and utterly immersing myself in music. And it's only since I've, you know, been older and looking back that I realised that that's what I was doing. You know, I'd come home every lunchtime just to bash my drums
kick
a bit. But at the same time, yeah, I was always playing on the piano and the guitar. Not as, you know, again, like, you're a drummer, you know what I mean, but not as keenly as I was about the drums. Nothing came close to the drums. But I think the other instruments have just always been there because I've always been a massive fan of melody and singing and harmonising and stuff. And every time, ever since I've been drummer in a band, I've always been backing vocals as well, you know. So, you're a band, and you too. It's great. Drummers unite. But, so I guess it's just always been there. But nothing, you know, drums have always been the front runner for me.
So I've done my research on you, and I can't really find much before Razorlight.
Right, yeah.
You know, there seems to be this mystery that the man before Razorlight. You must have been in school bands and...
Oh, I was in bands forever, but I think you tend to, you know, unless your band is signed or... Unless your band has, you know, some sort of notable release, then there's not really any way of whoever it is who does Wikipedias or whatever, there's no way of anybody finding out. I was in bands from, you know, I joined my first. I had bands all the way through school, but I joined my first serious band, and by that I mean kids who were four years older than me, and they had a manager. You know, I joined my first band when I was 14, 15, and they had to sort of smuggle me into the venues because I, you know, wasn't allowed to be there.
But were they original bands, or were you playing covers a lot as a youngster?
The first band that we played covers in was a band called The Shoes. We have a double O, very clever. And we just played village halls and stuff. And then my first band that got serious and we had a manager was a band called User. And they were from Aylesbury, but the lead singer was studying in Winchester, so I met them there. We just played endlessly at the Railway Inn in Winchester. Travelled up every week to London to do gigs at, like, the Mean Fiddler, which is now no longer there, or the Underworld. We'd do it every week, you know. And from when I was about 16 to 23, I was in that same band with that same guy, thoroughly loyal. You know, loved it, but it was really, really hard. It's been incredibly, incredibly soul-destroying, really, because you're just constantly playing gigs basically to no one. And not get anywhere. We would constantly get teased by record companies that maybe they're interested. We'd do demos at Island Records, we'd do demos at East West, you know, come up to London, all this excitement. And it got to the point, you know, really after 7 years, where I was just like, you know what, I don't think this thing that I've been dreaming about since I was a little boy, I don't think it happens. And I genuinely remember feeling okay about it. You know, I got to this point, I've been through all these various different emotional states, I've been like, I want this so badly. And I got to 23 and I think I kind of made peace with it. I was just like, this ain't going to happen. I'd love it if I could do the odd session here on the drums, you know, drums are my life and stuff, but I don't think I'm going to be a pop star. I don't think it's going to happen. And then, so I quit.
Did you want that, though?
So
was
badly.
That, was that what you
I wanted to be a drummer. I didn't want to be like, I wasn't particularly bothered about being famous or being like, you know, I just wanted to be a drummer in a pop group.
You just spent 7 years with the band that you know, you didn't really go anywhere with. You kind of on the edge of stardom almost. But that must have been so good for you, discipline-wise, and learning game and, you know, understanding what it's all about.
Well, and also, you know, it wasn't until later I realised this, but, you know, I gave that band up because I couldn't bear it anymore, as it were. I couldn't deal with the constant driving up and down the M3 in my little Fiesta with all my drums on, you know, and feeling like a total failure, basically. And so I stopped it. And then a few months later, this amazing thing happened for me, and obviously everything changed. But it wasn't until a few years into Razorlight that I really realised how lucky I was to have done all those years, because I think it meant that I had... I know it sounds a bit, you know, it sounds a bit odd, but it just really helped me keep my feet on the ground with everything that happened. Because I knew how much I'd worked for it, and I knew how, you know, I knew that these things don't just fall out of thin air.
Well, let's play another song from your kind of influences from around that time. So kind of pre-Razorlight, but you know, just on the edge of when it all kicked off?
Just on the edge of when it all kicked off. Well, I was really, you know, I was really into... It's funny, I was still listening to a lot of Police. I was looking down my little list here, though, and I remember something that me and Johnny got really into again together. We came back to Squeeze. Squeeze have always been one of my favourite bands. Again, a band that my dad got me into. And I was listening to a lot of Squeeze at that point. I was listening to a lot of Jeff Buckley and a lot of Squeeze.
Jeff Buckley, that's the guitarist in you.
That's the guitar. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that, well, actually, that's. I was listening to a lot of Squeeze. I was listening to a lot of Jeff Buckley. So I think I'd like to go for Up the Junction by Squeeze.
We still play that loads on BFBS.
Brilliant.
Here it is.
Forgiveness, but begging's not my business, and she won't write a letter, though I always tell her, and so it's my assumption, I'm really up the junction.
Squeeze on BFBS and Up the Junction.
Up the Junction.
Frank McCarthy with Andy Burrows. Now, you joined Razorlight in 2004, that's right?
Yes.
How did that happen? Because I read it was a kind of open audition for drummers. That must have been quite scary, quite exciting.
It was. It was really scary, and especially after all that I just said about making my peace with not... I basically was doing a bit of drum teaching. This was after I'd quit the band. I was basically doing a bit of drum teaching, and I was working in a pub. And occasionally get up to London to do, like, you know, fairly kind of naffy sessions with, you know, anybody that had me. And there was this guy called Julian Standen, who was a producer who I knew had done a track, the Lemonheads cover of Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, yeah. I remember that was great too.
Yeah, that was his sort of main song. So he was a slight name producer that I'd met through something else. And he said, would you come up to my studio and play some drums for me? I've just got a new studio and I want to test out the room. So it's a slightly odd session. But I went up and did it for him, and then at the end of the session he said, look mate, I can't pay you any money, And I was like, oh, great, you know. can't pay any money, but I'll let all my industry contacts know. And I thought that sounded so kind of, you know, I was like, oh, whatever, industry contacts. And then I drove back down the M3, got home, and I, you know, turned on the old emails, which at that point was still very new. We're talking to, I don't know, 2000. I suppose it wasn't that new. It was new to me.
Yeah.
Got home, opened my emails, and there was an email from somebody that he had. It was from one of his contacts, and it was a guy at a publishing company saying, oh, funny you should mention this guy, Andy Burrows, who's a great drummer and all this stuff, because there's a band called Razorlight, whose drummer's just quit, and no one knows yet, but the drummer's, you know, it's this big shock thing, because this band is starting to take off, they're starting to do well at radio, and I kind of got home, I thought, oh, hell, I was like, that was quick, I didn't expect to get...
You'd literally just got home?
Yeah, just got home. And because he'd sent this nice email out, this producer had sent this nice email out saying, you know, Andy, meet Andy Burrows.
He's that normally takes a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So I got back, and then that happened, and I sort of did a bit of research. I got very excited just at the idea that, you know, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I checked it out, and I went online, bought the enemy, and I realised that this band, Razorlight, were really quite a big up-and-coming deal. And I was like, wow, that's quite incredible that the drummer should leave. Why would the drummer leave? First time I ever thought, why would the drummer leave? But then I did a bit of research and I realised that I knew I'd played in a band with John Hassell from the Libertines before, and I sort of tried to think about this and I thought, oh, maybe there's a bit of a back route here. Maybe, you know, I've been around long enough that there might be a bit of a connection. But as it turned out, none of that worked, and I turned up to a place on Brewery Road in London, in my little Fiesta, and I saw basically what looked to me to be about a couple of hundred... A lot of kids who were obviously fans of this band. A lot of people had like Stumble and Fall t-shirts on and like Razorlight t-shirts. I was like, this is odd. I didn't really know very much about the band because I hadn't been listening out, I hadn't been paying much attention. But I got there and there was a lot of fans and a lot of people with drumsticks. And so suddenly my heart started, you know, racing. I was like, oh dear, this isn't quite what I thought. I thought I had a bit of a connection. I might get in here.
Yeah. Not 200 kids.
Not 200, yeah. and a few blokes my age. You know, there's a bunch of 20-somethings who were probably the serious ones. You know, there was definitely a bunch of kids there who just wanted to go and see Johnny Burrell and see what it was like, you know. We all sat up in the kitchen, you know, a good 150 people come in and going, and the press officer would come in and run and be like, they'll be ready for you in half an hour, they'll be ready for you in an hour, you've got 3 hours to wait. And I went in and...
Like the X Factor, it was a
bit,
unfortunately.
It was a bit strange. It was certainly something I hadn't done. I hadn't done an audition for about 10 years at that point. And I went in and we played and it felt great. And I could tell that Johnny... At that point, even early on, I could tell that Johnny was doing kind of a quite an inquisitive eye squint at me, and he was being a bit like, well, how come you, what? He was just, I could just tell, I knew when I drove back home that night, I knew that he was like, how come you, where have you been then?
How long did you play for?
We played 3 songs, all of which I didn't know. I think I must have been the only drummer there who wasn't aware of their work.
It's probably a good thing.
I think it probably was, but at the time, I think they were a bit miffed. They were a bit like, how come you don't know our songs? And it wasn't until I started to realise that the Golden Touch was, you know, a big tune that I was like, oh, I probably should have learnt that. But anyway, they called me back for the next day, so I knew that was exciting. I went up and we played again, and then Johnny said, do you want to go for a beer or something? We went for a beer, and then it was a real funny thing because the feeling was great, and they were basically saying, do you want to come up this week? And I remember driving home that Sunday night and just being like, wow. You know, genuinely thinking, yeah, my life is completely about to change. Like, I've gone from total loser, you know, cleaning the crap out of the toilets at the pub to... possibly, you know, something really life-changing. I remember you've just got a feeling. I was like, this is mental. Something's about to change here. And I drove home that night and I was in a sort of a state of genuine stunned because they basically said, are you able to come up and start rehearsals? But they hadn't said, you've got it. And then Monday happened. I remember waking up on Monday back down in Winston and I didn't hear from anybody. I was very confused because I was like, that was a great weekend. But I hadn't heard from anybody. And it got to sort of 6 o'clock in the evening and I was literally... Honestly, I was just beside myself because I obviously haven't got it because they would have let me know. And I can't believe I let myself go to that place last night where I thought my life was in change. So I called the manager, Roger, and I was like, so, you know, you said you were going to call. Are we not, what's the vibe? And he's like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you got it, man. What's? And I was like, what? I just spent the whole day going crazy. And then what happened next was the most amazing evening of getting... rather drunk.
Yeah, no wonder.
And I basically spent the next couple of days basically saying my goodbyes to all my friends in Winston because we then...
That was it, you were
yeah,
off?
Yeah, we were off. And I didn't see anybody till Christmas that year and I didn't see anyone. And then 5 years of total chaos, basically, and it was amazing.
Now, if I said to anyone here at BFBS about you and your time in Razor Light. If I said to anyone at BFBS and many of our listeners as well, give me a Razor Light song or your favourite Razor Light song, it would be America.
You reckon? I suppose, yeah. Possibly,
didn't
you?
It's still a song we play a lot.
Right, wow.
You wrote it, didn't you?
Well, I did. I brought it to the band, yeah. I mean, Johnny, obviously the song that became the song was the song that Johnny and I wrote together. But it's a song that I brought to the... I wrote and brought it to the band, which I guess was a big deal for me.
And you're going to play it for us?
I am.
Here and now today. This is the first of your stripped-back session songs for us here at BFBS.
An exclusive version for you.
And it was a UK number one.
It was.
Razor Light's only UK number one.
Crazy.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
Sandy Burrows at BFBS with Frank McCarthy. This is his version with your mate Stu, who plays with you these days, of Razor Light's America.
Okay. Are you ready when you're ready? Okay.
What a drag it is, the shape I'm in. Well, I go out somewhere, then I come home again. I light a cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV and nothing on the radio that means that much to me. All my life been watching America. All my life there's panic in America. I've been watching America. Yesterday was easy, well, happiness came and went. I got the movie script, but I don't know what it meant. I light a cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. Nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that I can believe in. All my life, I've been watching America. All my life, there's panic in America. I've been watching America. Yesterday was easy, well, yes, I got the news. When you get it straight, you stand up, you just can't lose. Give you my confidence and all my faith in life. Well, don't stand me up, don't let me down, no, I need you tonight to hold. Say you'll be here. Hold me. Say you'll be here. Hold me. Say you'll be here. Hold. All my life I've been watching America. I've been watching America. Tell me, how does it feel? Tell me, how does it feel? Tell me, feel.
Andy, I heard a story about America.
Right.
Now, please put me right or wrong.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about this and telling people this for years. You wrote the song. Johnny Burrell insisted on being on the credits, although you'd done most of the work.
No, I think it's a funny one, this, because I think what happened is that, you know, Johnny has had a reputation for being very cocksure and making big comments about his songwriting. So I think he got a bit of stick for the fact that, I guess, because I brought a song into the band and it did well, I think he got a bit of stick because
the drummer wrote the
drummer
number one.
But I mean, I would always say, and it's kind of, you know, there's an element of truth to some of it, because, you know, it is a song that I instigated and brought to the band, and it is a song that we weren't going to put on that album at first and we weren't going to work on as a band. I think there was a part of Johnny that felt like it wasn't a song for us, and that upset me, you know. So America has a lot of tales that even I have slightly forgotten, but essentially I always maintain that, to be fair to Johnny, he was amazing at boosting my confidence, and that song wouldn't be that song if it wasn't for him.
It is so. A beautiful song, and your performance of it today, fabulous. Thanks very much.
That's
for doing
a,
that
it's a pleasure.
One thing you may or may not remember, Andy, was Razorlight playing at the BFBS studios in Wentworth Barracks in Herford in Germany around the time of the Euro Championships.
No, it was the World Cup.
Was it the World
2006,
Cup?
Yeah. And
it was in Germany, yeah.
That's right, and we were at the BFBS place and we were there for a whole morning. But that was great actually, being there.
And of course,
great experience.
You toured in Germany, so you'd have had a lot of forces at your gigs.
I remember when
I was at BFBS Germany, the best thing about it was the really big bands from the UK that would play to thousands would come over to Germany and play to kind of hundreds.
Yeah.
And you felt a lot more special being able to go to gigs like that.
It's like more intimate. I mean, actually, in the end, it ended up going really well for Razorlight in Germany. We got through that album, we ended up getting pretty big. And then Slipway Fires, bizarrely, we were chatting about earlier on, was really big in Germany.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about you're growing up. We talked about Razorlight.
Yep.
I think we spent enough time on Razorlight, really. Apart from the fact that I must just say to you, Slipway Fires is one of my go-to albums.
Right.
And I can hear the biggest influences, knowing a fair bit about you and your music, on there from you. Was that album predominantly you?
I don't know. I mean, it was massively Johnny. I mean, you know, I think, you know, Johnny is an incredible talent, and it's him and his voice and his words. I think musically there's a lot of me on there.
Yeah.
I mean, drums, I really, it's a shame that album sort of went under the radar comparatively. Because
there's some drumming on that.
There's
some stuff I dream about being able to play.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. I definitely did get to a place with that album. I think I said to you earlier on when we were having a cup of tea, it's an album where I'd really reached my drumming sort of fitness peak. And it's just a shame that people stopped listening around then, because I sort of put my all into some of those drum parts. But anyway, I've got a fan in you.
Yeah, definitely a fan in me. Yeah. It's one of my, like, top 10 go-to albums if I ever need a bit of a pickup.
Monster Boots.
Oh, what a tune. Okay, so let's move on. So you left Razorlight, okay, and you kind of started a band with your brothers.
And my brother.
Your brother?
My brother and a bunch of friends, yeah.
Right, I Am Arrows.
Yeah.
And that was really soon after Razorlight, but before Razorlight split up, you released your own solo album.
Yeah, well, the I Am Arrows thing, basically it was kind of my first solo album, but I got very nervous at the last minute and decided to change it to I Am Arrows. And I ended up doing all the press shots with the band because I kind of, I got the fear of being on my own. So it kind of was my first solo album, but I don't see it that way now. I think I Am Arrows was a kind of a release.
Mm. You know? It's quite rocky, isn't it?
It was kind of like pop rocky.
Yeah.
But I needed to do something. You know, I left the band. I moved to America for a few months and I just needed to, and I knew that Razorlight were, you know, sort of continuing, and, you know, all that was frustrating me and upsetting me. And so I just did this thing and it lasted. We did one single and an album. I'm kind of proud of the fact that I got out and did something straight away, but with hindsight, it's not my favourite thing that I've done. I'm much more proud of everything that followed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of a necessity for me to do that.
It needed to be done.
Yeah.
Almost like you need to snog someone after you've finished with
yeah,
them.
It was,
you
know, exactly. It was a rebound album.
Yes,
it was,
yeah.
It was.
But at the time of kind of winding up with Razor Light, you released an album, The Colour of My Dreams. How did that happen, and how did maybe the band feel when you did that?
Well, that record happened between Razor Light album and Razor Light Slipway Fires album. Because I'd done the writing with America and Fall to Pieces with Johnny, because I sort of happened upon that songwriting thing. I wanted to do a bit of songwriting practice, so I got this book of poems by my friend Peter Dixon, and I spent the summer that we had off, whilst actually my wife was waiting for our daughter, was, you know, pregnant with our daughter, and I spent the summer just writing these songs to someone else's lyrics, so I really wanted to practice. And then when I'd done it, there was this little 15-minute album, and our A&R guy heard it, and he said that he thought we should release it. And I said, well, only 15 minutes long. And he said, well, I think we should do it. And I said, well, what about we do it for charity then? And then I won't feel so, you know, I feel better about doing it for a good cause. So I did it for this children's hospice in Winchester, which, you know, had been something I'd worked alongside. And, yeah, so we put out this little album. It's beautiful. And we did one concert at the Union Chapel, and we had Dom Howard of Muse, and we had Fife Dangerfield of Guillemots, and Mark Morris of the Blue Tones, and Jamie Oliver did a barbecue. And, you know, I basically just went to everybody I knew in the...
Your celebrity circle.
Something like that. And I just said, look, will you come and, you know, I was like, will you come and do something for this? Because I think it's going to be great. And it really was. It was a fantastic evening. Amazing. And that kind of gave me a bit of a taste for, like, oh, I quite like this.
The solo kind of.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of years ago, you were involved in a soundtrack,
yes,
which again is another kind of string to your bow.
Yeah.
It was like the remaking, wasn't it, of The Snowman and the Snow Dog.
Well, yeah, it was a sequel, essentially.
Oh, right,
it was
okay.
A sequel by the same people who made, like, all of the artists who had drawn the original Snowman film came together with Lupus Films to make this completely beautiful sequel to the original Snowman, and they introduced a new little character, the Snow Dog, and it was aired on Channel 4 on Christmas Eve 2 years ago. And what an incredible project to have been involved in. I mean, that was a complete, that really was, that knocked me for six, that did. That was amazing doing that.
Because, of course, we all remember the original Snowman with Alan Jones.
Yes.
That's how old it is, when he was like a choir boy at the age of 14 or something.
I think it was 30 years. Well, you know, the 2 years ago, 30 years, there was the original. Alan Jones. Oh, yeah, so we knew we were tasked with potentially meddling with something with an incredible legacy. But the film was so beautiful and so true to the original, with a lovely new little story, that we just tried to apply the same thing to the music, really. We were just like, I'm never going to write the new Walking in the Air, because that song's just completely iconic and part of our childhood.
And your voice doesn't go that high.
And my voice doesn't go that high, although I gave it a good go. But we were just like, look, you know what, there's a whole new generation, like my age, parents of my age with kids, who are going to love this. They're going to absolutely, this is going to go straight into their living rooms and straight to their hearts, and myself very much included. And when I was writing it, I was living in America, and, you know, me and my daughter was four at the time, and, you know, it was amazing sitting there, and I was writing these songs each night, and she would sort of sit with me and basically react if it was good and not if it wasn't, and it was lovely. It was such a magical thing to be part of.
And you're going to play Light the Night.
Light the Night, yeah.
For us now.
Here we go.
It's Frank McCarthy with Andy Burrows on BFBS.
Of the night sky, I look out of my window, a jet stream makes a lonely line, following up through the air. We go high above the river and up over the world. Light lamps flicker on the streets below, just like a dream, like a shooting star. Diving through the dark, see how we light the night, how we light the night. through the quiet up here in the night sky. The cold wind on my face, the clouds below the stars so high. Follow them up through the air. We go high above the river and up over the world. My heat lamps flicker on the streets below.
So it's Andy Burrows on BFBS with Frank McCarthy. I'm really made up that you're here.
I'm very grateful that you have me on. Thank you.
And you're doing really well at the moment. Your new single is so catchy, as was the single that we kind of still play on BFBS from your last album, Company. You know, you're going to play Hometown for us.
Yes.
It's so catchy. I kind of, you know, hear it when you were rehearsing and think, oh God, yeah, I haven't heard this for a few weeks or a few months, but
yeah.
It's just like instantly recognisable.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me about the making of that album. Where were you in? Well, it must have been 2011, I imagine.
It was, you know what? That album was directly influenced by the record that I made with Tom Smith, which had given me this sort of like new burst of, because I've been drumming with We Are Scientists for the last couple, you know, for a couple of years.
I didn't even mention We Are Scientists.
That's all right. No, it's probably better if I just, you know, if I pick, you know, you'll get little bits of.
I love We Are Scientists.
Yeah, they're a great band. I mean, they're amazing. I've basically been the part time drummer for them since I left Razorlight, because me and Keith, the singer, we were always really good drinking buddies. But I've been doing that for a while, and I was starting to be like, I kind of want to do something. And then Tom Smith, editors, asked me if I wanted to do this album. We made this cool Christmas album. We went on tour in Europe, where he's just a huge pop star. So I kind
of, he's massive in Germany.
He's huge in Germany.
God.
So I kind of, me and him went on this tour of all these theatres playing together. And I absolutely adore Tom, and we had a great time. We wrote a little bit together, and basically he said to me at the end of that tour, he was like, you should just go and make a record. And I was like, yeah, but I haven't got a label, I haven't got a deal at the moment. And then he said, well, have you talked to Piaz, who is his record label, and who are the label that...
Play It Again, Sam.
Yeah, Play It Again, Sam. And so I met up with them, and they were like, we'd love to do an album with you. And I literally was like, I was blown away. I was like, wow, okay. So that album was directly influenced by working with Tom. He gave me a real, he gave me a real boot up the bum, and he was just like, just go and do it, you know. And so I did. I carried on playing with We Are Scientists. I still do, sort of, albeit part-time.
You are all over the place.
I'm all over the shop. But that first album was a real... Even though I'd done that I Am Arrows one a few years previous, the Company was just... It was definitely my first proper solo album that I really put a lot into started to take myself... Not that you should ever take yourself particularly seriously, but I started to think, well, maybe I can be a... You know, maybe I can be a solo bloke as well.
Maybe the slightly more mature.
Yeah, something. Maybe
Andy
something a bit
Burrows.
More mature. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then it ended up, really for me, comparatively, doing really well. Because, you know, radio started playing the songs, and then the Snowman, Snowdog film happened halfway through, and they used, I wrote a lot of the soundtrack, but Hometown ended up being on that song as well in the flying sequence. So it was just amazing. Another amazing little step, really, for me. That went on to lead on to a load of stuff. It was great. It was really, really, you know, a great experience. And Hometown was a key song that I actually wrote whilst I was in Razorlight, and I actually put it to the band, and they, yeah.
It'd been kicking around for a while.
Yeah, that song had, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
I think you should play it for us.
Yeah, so here you go. I'll go and play a nice little acoustic version for you.
He's got his walls and his ways. He waves a gun, he has his days. Has a lot on his mind, too bad. Is only happy if he's sad. He has his cannons, which he fires. The only boy I know who cannot cry. I can see the ground, I can't see you. I can see our hometown, I can see you. Leave the lights on where I go, so I can watch you down below. He had his loves and his loss. There were bridges we needed to cross. We had bridges that we burned, and had so much we needed to learn. He has his cannons, which he fires. The only boy I know who cannot cry. I can see the ground, I can see you. And see our hometown, I can see you. Leave the lights on when I go, so I can watch you down below. I can see the ground, I can see you. And see our hometown, I can see you. Leave the lights on when I go, so I can watch you down below. I can see the ground, I can see you. And see our hometown, I can see you. Leave the lights on when I go, so I can watch you down below.
It's Andy Burrows with me, Frank McCarthy, on BFBS. And basically, I'm kind of thinking, all these things that you do, all the bands that you've been in, how do you keep it together?
I always think it's funny when I think I only work with people called Tom. Because I was thinking...
Tom O'Dell.
Yeah, Tom O'Dell. No, how do I keep it all together? I think I'm, you know, I'm a dad, and I have a beautiful wife, and my family is the most important thing to me. I think, like with anybody, with anything... you keep things together with the love of your family, and I always keep, that's the most important thing to me, and it's the centre of my world, and I guess that's very grounding. It is. I really enjoy the kind of chaos of doing different things. You know, one of the things that I used to find restricting about being in Razorlight, although it was an incredibly awesome, brilliant, you know, massive band and all that stuff, it was quite restricting. I wasn't really allowed to go and do
anything.
You
were the drummer.
I was the drummer, you know.
Did you get to play guitar much in those
never,
days?
Never, never, no. I mean... yeah, no, not at all. I was the drummer, and that was cool. I mean, like I said earlier on, I'm a drummer through and through. But there was a part of me that wanted to go off and do more. And I think the last 5 years, I've just basically gone like, you know what? If I'm going to have the balls to get up and leave a big, famous band, then I need to make sure I work as hard as I can and do everything that
and
I can.
I'd say you certainly are. You are all over the place.
I'm trying.
New album's coming out very soon.
Yeah.
and you've had we've been playing the single As Good As Gone quite a bit all over the place on BFBS, which again is so catchy. Now you're going to play it for us in a bit. It's going to be the last song we finish on for your special with us here on BFBS, and it's one of those songs that you kind of, I always think, you know, like a great song has several hooks, and that song has got several hooks, like bits that I might remember or someone else might remember will be different parts. What's the new album like?
I think it's a bit, it's got a bigger sound than my first album, Company. It's got, we recorded, I went away with the band that I've got. I mean, my band basically comprised of guys that were with me in Razorlight, like my drummer, Stu, who's here today with me playing the mandolin. He's my drummer, and he was my drum tech in Razorlight. He used to, you know, set my drum kit up, and we've been close friends. And Steve worked on the Razorlight crew, he plays bass, and his brother Mike's in the band. And I think that, you know, we had such a good time touring Company around Europe that we got to the point where I was like, you know what, I'd quite like to record this album with you guys, because I don't mind being a solo bloke, but it's a bit lonely doing everything on my own. And so they were like, yeah, we'd love to come.
So it is a band, but under your name, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I write, you know, it's all my songs, I suppose, and I suppose I don't have to draft them in, because I, you know, I like playing everything myself, but I just wanted to go, we decided to go away to Snowdonia, to this cabin, and record the four of us, and there was like this, you know, hurricane raging for about a month. We you know, there was trees falling down all over the place. One of them missed our cabin by about a metre. So it was a frightening time, but a very fun time, and it's great to be with them. This album, I think, just sounds bigger. It's, you know, it's straight from the heart. And
where does the title come from, Fall Together Again?
Fall Together Again is a Steely Dan lyric from the song Any Major Dude. I love that line, and I feel like it just encapsulated a lot of what's going on, and things in a very calamitous style falling into place. And by falling into place, I don't mean like, check out how well it's all going, because that's not at all
but
what I mean.
Do you think things are falling into place?
No, it's more that I just love the synergy of the people that I'm with.
Right.
And I think that takes time.
So that works?
Yeah.
And you say it takes time. It obviously has taken time to get to where it is now.
Yeah.
So that is kind of
falling together again. Yeah, it just feels like I'm starting to find my feet again since Razorlight. You know, it's always going to take a long time, but I feel like I think I get what I am now. I'm this bloke that sort of darts around doing all this different stuff and working with people, and at the centre of it, musically, is my project. Is my Andy Burrows stuff, I suppose. And I'm starting to just feel all right with that. You know, because before I think I always just felt a bit like, oh, can I be a... So I'm a drummer, what am I doing? But whereas now I love it.
Do you think... I mean, are you going to tour this a lot? And can we expect to see you playing songs from the album next year at the festivals?
Absolutely, yeah. I think so. We're doing a few dates now before Christmas. We're going around England and Europe. Mainly a load of promo, a load of radio and TV. But we're doing some shows. And then I think in the new year, a full extensive tour of the UK and Europe.
Looking forward to it.
Can't
so
wait.
So you're going to play as the new single now.
Yes.
As Good As Gone.
The morning comes with a grin, maybe I could begin. I might dig my heels right in, but don't hold your breath for me. Cause I love the light of the glum, a weekend in the warm sun. Your heart beats for the love of anyone. Some luck's a little luckier for some.
Bring all home to the family, sure they need to know. Well, just how good it goes. Yeah, your life is beautiful. Hold your line pretty high there. Are you looking for a sign? Don't you know that I got mine? And now I'm as good as gone. So hold me close like you did when you needed me. When you would speak back to me, you were the personality. You're like a choice or a power, it could fall to the wrong one. To all the young guns, when all they need is a home run. Bring it all home to the family, sure they need to know. Yeah, just how good it go. Your life is beautiful. You hold your line pretty high there. Are you looking for a sign? Well, don't you know that I got mine? Now I'm as good as gold. Oh,
to know. Well, just how could it go? Yeah, your life is beautiful. You hold your line pretty high. Are you looking for a sign? Well, don't you know that I got mine? Yeah, and I'm as good as gold. You bring all, bring all home to the family. Well, just how could it go? Yeah, your life is beautiful. You're holding your light pretty hard. Or are you looking for a sign? Well, don't you know that I got mine? And now I'm as good as gone.
That was the first single from the new album, Fall Together Again, by Andy Burrows, As Good As Gone on BFBS. Andy, it's been fabulous having you here today. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, it's been a lovely time. I've enjoyed myself very much. Thanks.
And good luck with the album.
Cheers, mate.
And hopefully come and see you sometime.
Please do.
What a drag it is, the shape I'm in. Well, I go out somewhere, then I come home again. I light a cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. All my life, I'm watching America. All my life, there's panic in America. In America. Oh, 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 oh. Yesterday was easy, happiness came and went. I got the movie script, but I don't know what it meant. I light a cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that I can believe in. All my life, I'm watching America. All my life, there's panic in America. Oh, 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 there's trouble in America. Yesterday was easy as I got the news. Oh, when you get it straight, you stand up, you just can't lose. Give you my confidence, all my faith in life. Don't stand me up, don't let me down, no. I need you tonight to hold me. Say you'll be here.
Last hour, you've been hearing an Andy Burrows BFBS studio session. Songs featured were America, Light the Night, Hometown, and As Good as Gone. For BFBS Radio, Andy Burrows was in conversation with Frank McCarthy.
On digital radio, FM and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air. Around the world.
This is the Forces Station.
BFBS.